Welcome to Creating Sanctuary, a global interview series featuring 21 heroes who are saving animals' lives. I'm your host, Yolanda Calderon, and the hero I'm interviewing today is Anne Dunn. Anne is the founder of Cat Town, which is a lovely space here in my hometown of Oakland, California, to get coffee and meet cats that are up for adoption. Cat Town focuses on helping the most vulnerable cats from local shelters. Anne noticed that when she worked at the municipal shelter, she saw that cats who were too scared in that environment to show their best selves would be passed over by potential adopters. And after realizing that the shelter cats who most needed the intervention were least likely to get it, Anne created Cat Town to save those cats. When she founded Cat Town in 2011, the euthanasia rate for cats was 42%. By focusing on the cats most likely to be euthanized, Cat Town has helped over 1,700 cats and helped reduce the euthanasia rate to 14% in 2016. Welcome, Anne. I'm so glad you could join us. Those are really impressive numbers.
Thank you. Yeah, it's exciting to see what impact we're able to have.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So tell us the story about Cat Town. How did you start it, and what is the main mission?
So I started Cat Town after I'd been volunteering at our city shelter for a few years and saw a few different, just systemic obstacles to the cats being helped. And the first is the environment itself. And so it's, you know, anyone who's been to a municipal shelter understands that it's a stressful environment for cats and dogs, and it's really hard for cats to show their best selves. So a lot of rescue organizations focus on young, healthy, confident animals, and those are the same animals that shelters tend to do well with. So the ones that were really scared are the ones that tend to seem aggressive or shut down, and they just weren't getting help. So I just thought there's got to be a better way to do this, and really what we're focusing on is getting those guys into a positive environment where they feel safe and getting them adopted from there. So our mission is helping cats that would otherwise be euthanized, and those tend to be cats that are old, sick, very fearful, very shy, cats who seem aggressive in the shelter. So getting those guys into a safe environment and getting them into great homes.
And you found that once you got them to Cat Town, where it was really just a place for cats and people and coffee and a more relaxed environment, that those shy or maybe even aggressive cats changed, right?
Absolutely. So I think that that's the biggest takeaway is the reaction a cat has to the shelter environment tells you nothing about who they really are. It only tells you that they're scared. But a lot of predictions are made or a lot of decisions are made based on that behavior. So you think a life and death decision is based on a behavior in an environment where that animal shouldn't be and certainly isn't anything to do with what it would be like being in a home. So, yeah, our whole goal is, it's two-part. It's the environment is positive for the cats, but it's positive for the people, too. So it really just changes the whole dynamic.
I have to say, it's just a lovely space. I've walked past it on Broadway. I've stopped in, and it's an amazing place, and you have some pretty good pastries there, and the coffee's delicious, and it's just a very welcoming and relaxed space. And I know you have to make appointments if you want to go in to see the cats, right?
Right. We have a reservation system, and that is so that when people come, they know that they're able to get in. We do allow walk-ins, too, as long as there's space.
Great. So can I ask, what were you doing before you started this endeavor? Because that's pretty brave of you to just, you know, you said you were volunteering at the shelter and then you had this idea. What inspired you to do that and how did you get started?
Well, I would say that the first part is, you know, I think if I had known what I was getting myself into, I might not have been so brave. I look back at it and I think, God, I really can't believe that I did start this. But the what I was doing previously and during the time that I was volunteering is I had worked in public housing redevelopment for about 20 years. And so, which is working for a public housing authority, which is a government agency. And so I say going into the shelter, which is part of the city government, that I have an appreciation for what it is to be a good government worker and, you know, to be blamed for not being able to solve the problem. But the problem is resources. And so I would say it's not what you want to do, it's what you can do. So I think that was the first part, was the seeing that the failure is the lack of resources. And so I started thinking that, you know, I have these professional skills that, you know, are basically social work in nature, and this is just a different population. So I think I became obsessed being in the shelter environment too, and thinking this is so unfair that these cats come in for whatever reason, you know, somebody's lost their housing or somebody's died or somebody, you know, thinks that they're doing the right thing and scoops a cat off the street. And then these cats have no agency. And so it's really up to us to save them. So mm-hmm. There were so many variables at play that I thought I've got to at least try to do something here.
That's really admirable. And do you rent the space on Broadway?
We do. We rent the space. Mm-hmm. And I should say, too, when we started in 2011, we started as a foster program, and we still have a foster program. And we have about 100 cats in our care on any given day, and about 60 of those are in foster homes.
Wonderful. And what were your biggest struggles when you were starting?
I think the biggest was that we, you know, in all honesty, we just didn't know what we were doing. I started it, but I was, you know, very quickly joined by other volunteers at the shelter. So I think that the thing that I didn't appreciate, and why I say, you know, looking back, if I had known, I might have been too scared, is I didn't really think about the fact that I needed to build an organization at the same time that we were learning how to save these cats. So mm-hmm. that was a pretty daunting task, you know, to create an organization of, you know, once we opened the cafe, our volunteer base, you know, we grew 10 times, you know, in a matter of a couple months. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into supporting staff, supporting volunteers. And so building all of that infrastructure was, I think, the most challenging.
And was the idea initially that profits from the cafe would help run the place? Tell me about the business model that you started with. I know you changed it since then, but how did you start and how mm-hmm. did it evolve?
Well, it really started with, so, you know, it started again with the foster program. And then after we'd been operating for about 3.5 years, we thought, you know, we're ready. We have the capacity now to take on more, and we wanted to have an adoption center. And then the idea that becoming a cat cafe was, you know, it was just something that we had thought about, and so really didn't take seriously what it took to run a cafe. Mm-hmm. So that was certainly a challenge. But in terms of the model and the concept, it's really about how do we get people to come? How do we get them to not talk themselves out of adopting before they even show up? And so the cat cafe idea was having a cage-free environment where the cats can thrive, having it be an organic experience for potential adopters so they get to come into a room and interact with cats kind of on the cat's terms. And then just the cat cafe piece, we're the first in the United States. And, you know, just recognizing that that was going to be an interesting thing for people who maybe they're not even interested in adopting, but they want to come and see what we're doing anyway. So it was really just how do we get as many possible people to come and spend time with these cats.
And apparently it's worked.
It has worked. Although I would say one of the things that we realized pretty quickly is that nobody on our team either had the skills or interest to run the cafe. And that piece was really challenging, and we really lucked out in that the beginning of January 2017, we were able to sublet the cafe to RAR, which is a raw cat food business, and so it's their retail space, and now they run the cafe, so it's a win-win for sure.
And it's a nice partnership. So you got a raw cat food company to run the cafe. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, talk about synchronicity. So, yeah, it's really, really good for both of us.
Yeah. So what do you want our audience to most know about the cats that you're working with and the cats that you're helping?
Well, I think it's a combination of that they're in every community, these same problems exist. And one is that, you know, recognizing that most rescue organizations focus on young, confident, healthy animals. And there are still many, many more who need our help. And I think that the perception that people have, you know, and I'm talking about people in the rescue world, not even outside, you see a cat who's in a cage and is lunging at that cage, it makes sense to think that's a difficult cat, but it's really that the environment is difficult and that in order to save these cats and dogs, we really need to change our approach, that there's nothing wrong with the animals. It's just the system that they're in that needs to be changed.
I'm going to actually quote Ed Stewart, whom I recently interviewed. He runs a huge sanctuary in California, and he said that you don't go to a prison to study human behavior. Why would you go to a zoo, or why would you watch an animal in a cage to learn about that animal's behavior, right?
Exactly. Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other.
So what is an average day at Cat Town like?
Actually, it's an amazing place, and something that I didn't even really think about when we were designing this is every day when we're open, which is Wednesday through Sunday, every hour people come in to spend time with the cats. And so an average day for Cat Town, which isn't necessarily how I spend my time, but we have lots of great volunteers. So people come in and, you know, they've stopped at RAR and got their coffee and goodies, and they come in and hang out with the cats. And the thing that's been really exciting is people are generally just in such a good mood. I mean, it's just a really nice break from their day. And so there's, you know, really good energy in the space, and people are happy to be here. And then the other thing is that it makes our mission visible. And so it gives us an opportunity to talk about the cats in our community that weren't being helped, that really need our support. And so I think it also encourages people to get more invested in solving that problem. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of people that are coming in to see what Cat Cafe is. Some people are coming in because they're interested in adopting. And some people come in and they weren't even thinking about adopting, but they fall in love and figure out how to make that work. So it's, you know, it's certainly a nice situation to see really positive outcomes, whether people are just here to visit or end up taking somebody home.
Mm-hmm. So it could potentially even be a good place for somebody to go and spend time with cats if, say, they can't have any pets in their apartment or something like that.
Absolutely. We have so many people that come in, maybe somebody in their family is allergic or for whatever reason they're not able to have a cat at their home. Yeah, it just gives them the opportunity to have a really positive interaction and know that they're really supporting these cats getting on with their lives. So I think that's the other nice piece is sometimes people come in, they don't realize that we're a nonprofit. They don't necessarily understand what our mission is. But then once they're here and they see that just by virtue of being here, they are supporting our mission. And, you know, a lot of the cats that we help are fearful and learning to trust people. So having tons of cat lovers come in and spend time with them, of course, builds confidence in a really beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. I know that on your website you feature some of the individual cats. Do you have like a favorite story that you'd like to share with people?
Oh my goodness, there are so many great stories. Yes, let me think. So Buzz is a great story. So Buzz came into the shelter, this is about 3 months ago, and one of the things about working in the shelter environment is cats come in and more often than not we have no history. And so we're really just looking at who is that cat in a cage. And that's our beginning point. And so Buzz came in. In his case, we understood that the person who brought him to the shelter had been feeding him outside. But that doesn't tell you very much. Did that person have an interaction with him, or was he simply putting food out? And then what we knew about Buzz in the shelters was he had a huge sign that said caution, and he was given a nickname, Angry Tabby. And he would, you wouldn't put your hand in to spend time with him. He was literally just lunging at the front of the cage and hissing. And so we took him and we brought him to our new adoption space, which is, we have a series of smaller rooms that are nice and quiet, and it's an ideal environment for somebody coming right from the shelter who really needs time to decompress. And Buzz, within, he needed about a week to settle in. But after he was here for about a week, he showed us that he's a sweet, gentle lab cat. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I mean, and I'll tell you, I've seen that again and again and again. But every time I see it, it's magic. And so it took him, you know, just a little bit of time to really start doing really well. And then he got adopted. And, you know, I see the photos of him sitting on his adopter's chest while she's watching TV. And, you know, he's just, he's a perfect cat. There's nothing wrong with him. So, and he's the sort of cat that just really inspires us to keep going.
Wow. And so in the old model, he would have been euthanized pretty quickly, probably.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Boy, oh boy.
And cats like him across the country are euthanized. And so I would say the other really exciting thing that we're doing is showing people that these cats are not difficult to save. You know, really all we need to do is change the environment and change the approach. We don't need to change the cats.
Wow. That's really powerful. I thought I knew cats, but it sounds like you don't know what you're getting just by looking at them.
At all. And I think the thing that's so fascinating about cats is their environment is 90% of how they relate to their world. And so you change the environment, you change the cat. And so if you don't have them in an environment where they feel safe, I mean, they're so sensitive. And I think that's the thing that people don't appreciate about cats. I mean, you hear people say, oh, I don't think cats are friendly. And it's not a question of whether they're friendly. It's a question of whether they feel safe in their environment or with you. And I always say anything is possible once a cat feels safe.
So in that smaller environment, do you put a cat like Buzz in with other cats? Are you afraid that they might start fighting or have negative interactions?
It really depends on the cat. So one of the things that we do is, you know, we want a cat first to have the opportunity to settle in and decompress before interacting with another cat. But in Buzz's case, I mean, we have one of the things that's really exciting about the design of our expanded adoption center is that we have 12 different spaces, but we have sliding doors in between. And so it means that we could close a door and have two spaces, we could open a door and have one larger space. And so in Buzz's case, he was in a space where initially he was by himself and he was next door to two kittens. One of our major programs is helping older kittens get socialized, which is it's a whole nother conversation. But so we had two really fearful kittens, and we know that with the fearful kittens, if we give them access to a confident cat, then it really helps them feel more confident. So we opened the door between the two, and very, very quickly, Buzz was grooming these two kittens, and it helped him relax. It helped them feel safe. So, yeah, no, I think that's the other variable that's so essential is sometimes for cats, being in the presence of other cats really stresses them out. And for different cats, being alone really stresses them out. So much of what we're constantly doing is trying to figure out what are the variables that are going to help this cat thrive and you know, trying different scenarios to figure it out. So, they're such complex animals.
And what are the biggest challenges that CatTown is facing right now?
It's financial. I mean, I feel like we have all of the ingredients. Now we have a really fantastic team. We have a model that really is, you know, changing the way people think about cat rescue. And we're still really struggling to become sustainable. So our financial needs are for sure the greatest.
Mm-hmm. And so you run by donations?
Donations and grants.
Well, like what are some of the grants that you've gotten?
In the last year, we've gotten some really exciting grants. Maddie Fund is a National Welfare Animal Foundation, and they have supported us in a number of ways. One is we participate in the apprenticeship program, which means we're hosting people from different organizations across the country who are coming to learn how we're saving these what we call hard-to-place cats. We've also gotten a grant to do a research project to show what we're seeing with the older kittens that we're able to socialize that many people would say couldn't be socialized. We've also received a grant from Petco Foundation just to support general operating costs.
That's really wonderful. Do you get people coming in asking how to start a cat town in their own town?
Yes, we get so many people have reached out. And it's in two ways. People think of us as a cat cafe, and I always say we're a rescue organization that has a cat cafe. I mean, this isn't, we didn't start as a cat cafe, and it's certainly not our reason for being. But we do have people that are interested in starting cat cafes. We get a lot of inquiries about that. And then more and more we're getting people who have worked in rescue for a long time and have seen that the cats that we're helping are routinely euthanized and considered to be unadoptable. And in seeing the success that we're having and the amazing people that we're attracting, more and more people are reaching out to ask us how we've done this. So that is, to me, the most exciting thing.
Yeah. Have you actually seen any other cat towns starting up in other cities yet?
I actually just met with somebody who came in. He's in where Bruce Springsteen is from, Asbury Park. And he has he calls it Catsbury Park, and he started as a rescue in his home, and then he opened a cat cafe, and he's helping a lot of the same kinds of cats we are, and he said that he was inspired by Cat Town, that, you know, he used to live in San Francisco, and he's been here a bunch of times, so that was really exciting. And then more of what I'm seeing are people that are already doing rescue that are starting to implement some of the same programs that we have and are really branching out and taking more risks in getting cats who in the shelter seem to be difficult.
That's wonderful. And so so the municipal shelter will just release cats to you. You have to have some kind of establishment, I'm supposing, or some kind of rescue organization accredited, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit 501c3, and we do have a operating agreement with the shelter. And I should say we work in very close partnership with the shelter. You know, I mentioned I started this when I was a volunteer there, and two of our staff people who make the decisions about which cats we're going to take are still volunteers there. So we really couldn't do this without the relationship that we have with the shelter.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to share about Cat Town?
I feel like we've covered the basics and appreciate the opportunity to talk to you about this.
Great. Well, I appreciate it too. And thank you so much for your time. And I also want to thank our listeners, and I want to encourage them to go to the website at cattownoakland.org. You've been listening to Creating Sanctuary for Animals, and I'm your host, Yolanda Calderon. I look forward to talking to you all again soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.